Hello, thanks for joining us today as we move in the flow of the Spirit into today's teaching. Having faith in your prayers. That's what we all need to have. That's what we all need to grow in, having more and more faith in our prayers. And to have faith in your prayers, you need to have faith in the name of Jesus. I know that life can be so full of strange things. And when I was in college, before I was saved, I had an awakening, I guess, an awareness. And it amazed me that here I was studying all these things, here were all these people studying all these things, here all the people that were learning from they were born to wherever they are, and two of the most important things in life, we never learned. Nobody taught us. We didn't seek to learn it because perhaps, like me, you didn't think there's a place you could learn it. And the two things were that I hadn't learned, and I hadn't known anybody who had learned them, was how do you find a spouse and how do you make a marriage work? How do you make a marriage work? And how do you raise kids? I mean, how many people have ever been taught or taken a class or a course in how do you make a marriage work and how do you raise kids? I thought that was truly amazing. All these people learning all these things, and the two of the most important things in life, making a marriage work and raising kids, they have never ever taken a class on it. So, with that, I made a change in what I was doing. My major was physics, and I added psychology. And I took every class I could find in undergraduate on child development, raising kids. Then I got saved, and many years after I got saved, I came to another awakening. Most Christians have never been taught how to pray. They don't know how to pray. And so, for a long time, I was a teacher. I remember going to visit one of my brothers. I have a brother for every occasion, so this brother is for this occasion, which has to do with prayer. And not so much him, actually, but his neighbor. I went to visit him, met his neighbor. His neighbor was working outside, and at that time, I was, I guess I still am. If I come across you and meet you, I am most likely going to try to get you to accept Jesus as Savior, or at least preach to you. So I started with the next door neighbor. Turned out he was born again. Well, he was a denominational believer. And we got it talking, and he was saying that he doesn't really pray much because his prayers don't work. So I said, okay, let me give you some pointers on prayers. So I taught him the seven steps on praying, the prayer of faith, the prayer of petition, which we look at in very briefly in today's lesson. Taught him the seven steps. I came back a month later for a visit, and he ran over to me, and when he saw me coming, and he said, guess what? He said, before you taught me, if I got one prayer in 100 answered, that was great. He said, since you taught me, I'm hitting like, I think he said, over 85%. Something in that neighborhood. 85% of his prayers have been answered since then. He was ecstatic. And so, learning how to pray is really a very, very important part of our Christian lives. All three things actually are very important for Christians. How to make your marriage work, how to raise kids, even spiritual kids, and how to pray. So tonight we want to focus on improving your prayer life. And It really comes down to partnership. All of the Bible is a partnership. God created Adam, gave him authority over the earth and everything that moves on the earth, Genesis 1, 26 and 28. Gave him a body that was full of the glory of God, no sickness, no disease, and created him to live forever. And he could have lived forever. All he had to do is partner with God and not eat the fruit. He ate the fruit of disobedience and he died. The spirit man died, and 930 years later, his body died. Now, that partnership continues from that day to today. We continue forever. That's what God wants, our partners in his life. And we all know about Solomon. God gave him so much wisdom and so much wealth that even today we know Solomon as the wisest man and about all his wealth. But what happened after Solomon? Well, his first son who took over, Rehoboam, according to the scriptures, did evil in the sight of God. And what happened? The nation went into civil war. It was split. Judah and Benjamin on one side, everybody else on the other side. Rehoboam had Judah and Benjamin, loyal to him, was in civil war. During the process of being separated, Egypt came up and pillaged Jerusalem. Imagine that. From the glory of Solomon, with its wealth, riches, wisdom, kings and queens coming to see him, to where Egypt comes up and pillage Jerusalem. So, after Rehoboam died, his son took over. Abijah. I wrote the name down here, so for reference, but anyway, Abijah, okay, it's his son that took over. Okay, it doesn't really make much difference because my pronunciation of these Old Testament names are usually so weird, it doesn't make any difference if I'm trying to hit it exact. Anyway, so just forget all I just said, and Abijah took over. And he put back in the sacrifices and moved towards God. He was the one that defeated Jeroboam, the enemy, who divided Israel and took split the nation in two. So there was a step closer to God. But then his son Asa took over, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. So he removed all the idols and the images. And Ethiopia came against him with 1 million warriors. 1 million. He was over. They were much more against him than he had, okay? And so he sought the Lord and got the Lord's help, and he won. So Egypt pillaged Jerusalem, but under Asa, he defeated an army of 1 million. And then he had peace for 35 years. Now, in getting rid of all the images and bringing the people back to God, his mother, who was queen, had built an image in a grove for a heathen god. He took it down, he destroyed it, and he removed his mother from being queen because he was so committed to God, ending up having peace for 35 years and prospering wonderfully well. The partnership, we see the partnership. Rehoboam didn't partner with God. Abijah partnered a little bit. Ah, but wholeheartedly, Asa went after it. Partnership with God. Always a partnership with God. John 8:31 and 32 says, if you continue in my word. It says basically there are two kinds of believers. John 8:31 and 32. Jesus is speaking to believers. Says there are two kinds of Christians. And you say, oh, of course, there are more than two kinds. There are, you know, Presbyterian, denominational, you know, Pentecostal. That's not what he's talking about. That's all man-made. What he's talking about is this. Jesus is speaking to believers, all believers, one kind of Christian. He says to believers, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So two kinds of Christians. Believers, all believers are Christians. All believers are called elect. But when you continue in his word, to study his word, to learn his word, to believe his word, to do his word, to live his word, to speak his word, when you continue his word, you become a disciple. And it is the disciple who gets set free in this lifetime. The disciples get set free. If you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth and you shall get set free. And that's what we've been doing here at ABC now for 25 years. Teaching people the truth of the word. Teaching them the truth of the word to get set free from sickness, disease, infirmity, death, poverty, accident, calamities. Just as the word of God teaches. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. So, how do we have faith in our prayers? Well, I have some steps here in going towards a place where you have supreme faith in your prayers. So one is, start your day off by turning your life and your day over to God. Every day. You will, in the course of the day, sin, and when you do that, you're taking your day back from God. You can repeat giving your day to God again, but at least once a day in the morning, start your day off by saying, Lord, I would like you to be in control of my day today. Start your day off with God. Two is, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in the Word of God. God and His Word are one. If you have faith in His Word, you have faith in God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, start your day off by putting God in control of your day, of your life. Have faith in the Word of God. Abide in Him. Abide in Him. Live in Him. Dwell in Him. Live in His Word. Have faith in the name of Jesus. Have faith in the name of Jesus. And know that God will always find a way. He'll always make a way. And the way He'll make is always what you ask or something better. So those are six steps towards developing more faith in your prayers. You want to have absolute faith in your prayers. That comes from having absolute faith in the Word of God. You know the Bible is the Word of God. You know the Bible is the written Word of God. You know that God can't break His Word. So no matter what man says, no matter what a pastor says, no matter what anybody says, the Word of God is the truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, not may pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God shall never pass away. It will never change. It will always come to pass. So, start your day by putting God in control of your life. And the scripture I want to read for that is Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. For you know that all things, you know that all things work together for good. For them that love God, for them that are called according to His purpose. So when you put God in control of your life, you're doing it because you love God. And you know there's a calling in your life. And when God is in control of your life, then everything in the day will be arranged in such a way that's going to work out for good, for your good and for the good of others. Put God in control of your day and know that you know that you know. Know in your heart, know in your soul, know in your mind. Know that you know that because God is in control of your day, Romans 8:28 is alive and active in your life. And no matter what happens, God will bring good out of it and bring you to the end where he wants you to go. Number two, have faith in God. Have faith in the word of God. Let's read some scriptures. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Some translation says, have the God-like faith. Have faith in God that he's in charge of your day. He's in charge of you. He loves you. He'll work it out. Once you have faith in God, and once you have faith in his word, goes together. Once you have faith in God, then you can look at Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto a mountain, any mountain in your life, could be a physical mountain. Pastor Peter prayed and moved the mountain. Others have moved mountains. But most of the time, it's a mountain in your life, a mountain of poverty, a mountain of physical challenge, mountain in relationships, whatever the mountain is. You, whosoever shall speak to the mountain and say, be thou removed. Whoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you say. So whatever you want, any mountain, if you say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, or get out of here, and not doubt in your heart, you shall have what you say. The key is not doubt in your heart. Doubt in your mind won't stop it, because the devil will attack your mind with fiery darts and imagination, and thoughts of doubt and failure, embarrassment, will hit your mind. But in your heart, you know the Bible is the word of God. In your heart, you know God is real. In your heart, you know God loves you. And in your heart, you know, because it's in the Bible, it's the word of God. Because it's the word of God, it can't fail. And the Bible says it. Bible says you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. In your heart, you know that. In your heart, you believe that. You're a Christian. You're born into the family of God. In your heart, you know the Bible says you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So ignore the thoughts that come to your mind. And the thoughts that come to your mind may actually be thoughts of symptoms in your body. But they are contradicting the word of God. And the word of God, if you stand in it, if you keep saying it, if you keep speaking it, if you keep believing it, if you keep acting it, will always manifest and supersede and override and conquer the circumstances, whether they be medical or scientific or just deceit of the enemy. It makes no difference if the things that are contradicting the word of God are scientific truths, medical truths, or just hypnotic lies from the enemy. Just fire it out. Makes no difference. The word of God coming out of your heart of belief will always change it. So speak to the mountain and don't doubt in your heart, because you know it's the word of God. That's one big step up already for having faith in your prayers, because your prayers are based on the scriptures. Therefore, they are the word of God. Therefore, they must come to pass. And that brings us to Mark 11:24, the prayer of petition, foundational prayer of faith. We must know Mark 11:24 because the scripture says we have been created for God's pleasure. And we, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Therefore, to please God, you must understand faith. And the operational definition of faith is Mark 11:24. There is a definition in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the definition of faith. Different translations can be more powerful, but they're all saying the same thing. One translation says, faith is your title deed to the promise of God. So, faith is a substance of things hoped for. You hope for somebody, something, you prayed, you hope for something, and so you pray for it. You pray the prayer of faith. Having prayed the prayer of faith, you now have substance to your hope. First it was a hope, just ephemeral, there's a hope. But once you prayed it, it now has substance. You can touch it. You can touch your faith. You can feel your faith. It's a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. The evidence. What's your proof that that job is coming? What is the proof that you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus and the doctors are going to agree and the symptoms are going to leave? Ah, the Bible. Your title deed. Your evidence is the Bible. So have faith in the Word of God. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And on verse 14, John 1, 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And He took all your sins, and He took all the effects of your sins into His body and died, so you don't have them. So you're free of sins. Bible says you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because Jesus took all your sins. If He took all your sins, then He must have taken the wages of sins. He did. And the wages of sins are sickness, disease, infirmity, and death. Jesus took them all. He took them all. Have faith in God. Have faith in His Word. Faith is what you have in your heart because it is in the Bible. Not what comes to your mind. Your mind is a battleground. The thoughts in your mind may contradict what's in your heart. But in your heart, you know it's the Word of God. In your mind, you just cast it down. That fear, that doubt, in Jesus' name, I cast it down because it contradicts the Word of God. So, this process of speaking to the mountain and the mountain moving, this process of what things soever you desire when you pray, Mark 11, 24, believe that you receive it and you shall have them. This process works when you understand more precisely what they're saying. Mark 11, 24 says, whatever you desire, when you pray, present tense, believe that you receive, present tense, and you shall have it in the future. It's saying that when you pray, you must at the point in time of the prayer, when you say amen, it's done. You got it. Maybe it shows up instantaneously. Not too often. But yes, sometimes. It may take a while. It makes no difference. It has already been done in the spiritual realm. Already been done in the spiritual realm. And if you believe that, if you believe you received it when you said amen, then it shall come to pass. And so, since you believe you receive it, you never pray for it again. But you thank God for it. Thank you, Lord, I have my new job. Thank you, Lord, I have my new job. Thank you, Lord, for the new car you gave me. Thank you, Lord. You saved me from whatever, fill in the blank. You thank Him for it until it manifests. So, that's how Mark 11, 24 works. And here are the seven detailed steps for prayer. Number one is you always pray to the Father. Always pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Pray aloud. Comes out your lips. You don't have to shout it, but it must come out your lips. If you want to change something in the world, it must come out your lips. And pray it once. So pray to the Father. Pray in the name of Jesus. Pray it audibly through your lips so the devils can hear it, so the angels can hear it. And do it once. Do it once because you believe you receive it. Since you believe you receive it, you will start thanking God with affirmations. You thank Him with affirmations and they come to pass. And then when it comes to pass, you tell somebody. Those are the simple steps for praying the prayer of faith. Now, when you prayed, the answer may come immediately, may take a few minutes, a few hours. Many times when Jesus prayed, they said in the same hour. The fig tree took a whole day. For us, it may take a few minutes, may take hours, may take days. Sometimes they even take years for certain things. How long it takes and how powerful your prayers are greatly improved when you abide in them. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. If you abide in him, you are focused on him. You spend time in his presence. You spend time studying his word. You spend time praying. You receive communion. You're focused on him. You try to do what the word is saying. He becomes your lifestyle. The more you abide in him, is the more powerful your prayers will be, and the more rapid, in general, you get the responses. Now, undergirding all that is having faith in the name of Jesus. So, when you're praying, the prayer of faith is you pray to the Father, you pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Why in the name of Jesus? Because that's how the scriptures teach us to pray. Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. As where it says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So, we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, in Acts chapter 3, verse 16, there's the culmination of the story where Peter and John met this lame man who was lame from his mother's womb, and every day he was laying at the temple gate, Gate Beautiful, asking for alms. So Jesus must have passed him many times. But one day, the time was right. He asked Peter for alms. Peter looked at him and says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the man was instantly healed. So they're asking Peter, how did you do this? He said, I didn't do this. It says, it's by faith and faith in the name of Jesus, by which this man is made strong. By the faith to pray, by the faith to speak it, by the faith in your heart that you know you're speaking the word of God, and by faith in the name of Jesus. It's your faith to do it, to speak it, but it's also your faith in the name of Jesus. You must have faith in the name of Jesus, because scripture tells you in Philippians. That, let me read that for you. Philippians 2:9. Jesus humbled himself in obedience unto the death. He died for you and for me. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. God has given Jesus a name which is above every name. Every other name is below the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. The name of Jesus has authority in three worlds. Everything must respond to the name of Jesus. So in Genesis 1, 26 and 28, God gave mankind, gave us, through Adam, authority over the earth and everything that moves in it. Here, the name of Jesus has authority over the earth, everything on the earth, As long as it has a name, it's obedient to the name of Jesus. And everything in the heavens and everything under the earth, all three worlds, everything must obey the name of Jesus. And we have been given the legal right, the power of attorney, to use the name of Jesus. Power of attorney. If you have the power of attorney for me and my life or for my banking account, you can go in and empty my bank account. Power of attorney gives you total right to do anything that I can do. Total right to do anything that Jesus can do with his name. With the power of attorney to use his name, and we can do anything in the three worlds, because everything in three worlds must bow to the name of Jesus. Not people. People have free wills. Okay? So it doesn't refer to people. It says things. Everything. And things include animals. Kingdom of nature. The kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light. Physical things. Now, the process of moving from milk as a newborn babe, as a newborn believer, to meat, maturing, and from meat to strong meat, where you are becoming an adult in the kingdom of God, that process of going from one stage to another comes about as you feed on the Word of God, comes about as you live your life more and more with Jesus as Lord, comes about by overcoming challenges. To mature and grow, to grow from milk to meat, to strong meat, we must overcome challenges. That's why James chapter 1 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, for the trying of your faith produces patience. So let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete and perfect, lacking nothing. The way we go up to meat and strong meat is to overcome temptations, and challenges of life are temptations. We overcome them. In overcome them, you want to know this, that no matter what the temptation is, God has made a way out for you. God has made a solution for you. Whatever the challenge is, there is a solution. And whatever the challenge is, the solution is always in the Word of God that you already know. The solution is always in a part of the Word of God you already know. You're not going to be challenged at any level beyond the Word of God you already know. Now, for somebody who is a young believer, I remember, around the time I got saved, I was sleeping, and I had what you'd call a nightmare, which I'm sure many of you have had. I felt something jumping me on the bed and was pressing me into the bed, and I was full of fear, and I couldn't speak, couldn't talk, and this thing was just awful, pushing me on, trying to crush me. Now, I believe that was a demonic spirit that jumped on me. That time I wouldn't know demons from a donut. So how did I get out of that? Yeah, it's about the time when I got saved, okay? So what did I know? Nothing. Didn't know anything. But way, way back from the recesses of my youth, the word came out, the Lord is my shepherd. And as soon as I forced them out, the Lord is my shepherd, this thing took off. That's it. Never, ever had it again. The Lord is my shepherd. So no matter how young you are in the Lord, Maybe all you yell is the name of Jesus and sets you free. Or God, if you don't even know about the name of Jesus, you yell God. But once these things happen, there's a requirement to grow. For every miracle you get, there's a responsibility to learn more. Let me say that again. For every prayer you get answered, for every miracle you get, the bigger the miracle, is the more is the requirement for you to learn. For to him who is given much, much is required. To him who is given much, much is expected. So a lot of people go and they get their healing, they go to a, you know, evangelistic meeting and they get miracles, and they go home back to the same life they had before. That's pretty much a recipe for disaster for a lot of them. Because the challenge may come back, or a different one. And they've learned nothing. Yeah, they go to the meeting, and because of the grace of God, they've done nothing. They haven't done any work or anything. All they do is go to a meeting and sit in a chair. But the person, or the persons who is praying for them, or who are praying for them, have done a lot of work. Some of these people have been fasting for 40 days sometimes. They've done the work. But by grace, the person goes and gets the healing. The requirement is you've been given much. Now go learn about healing. Go learn to prepare yourself. You know, you don't want to wait until the bully next door comes over to start pushing your weights. No, you want to learn how to push weights and get strong and be ready so when the bully comes, you can, whoo, ah. Right? Same thing spiritually. You know, we don't throw out common sense because we got saved. You prepare in advance. Jesus says, you know, build your house in good weather for when the storms of life come. You can't build during the storm. It will fall down. So, let's prepare. Every time you get a miracle, use it as a propulsive reason to push you to higher levels. Learn. So, every time the challenges come, you know that God will make a way. God will make a way. And the way is always the word you have in you. So you expect the way out. Let me read the scripture for you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you. No temptation has come up in you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. You can always trust him. God is faithful, who will not suffer you, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. But with every temptation, will make a way to escape. And that way to escape is the word of God, to which you have already been exposed. In other words, the devil can't attack you at a level higher than the word to which you have already been exposed. No matter at what level you are. Now, of course, if you choose to learn something and backslide, and don't have the faith to use what you've learned, you might have a challenge. So, this is not meant to say, hey, you can backslide, and once you backslide and don't do anything, you're going to come out of it. No, the idea is you're always taking one step closer to God. One step closer. You take a step to God, God take a step towards you. James 4 verse 8, take a step towards God. You keep doing that, God always has enough word in you to get set free. For it is in overcoming the challenge that you go from level to level, from glory to glory. That's why we count it all joy. When the challenges come, here's my attitude when a challenge comes. Wow, what a great praise report this is going to make when it's all over. No matter how big the challenge is, the bigger the challenge, the bigger the praise report. You know, the deeper the valley, the higher the mountain. We want to go to higher and higher levels in God. You have to overcome these challenges. So, put God in charge of your life every morning. Have faith in the Word of God. Abide in Him. Live in Him. Learn more about Him. Talk to Him. Have faith in the name of Jesus. For in the name of Jesus, all authority in three worlds reside. And when you use the name of Jesus, you have the power of attorney to use that name of Jesus and exercise the authority in three worlds. Partnership is, Jesus gave you his name. Well, partnership is even before that. Partnership is Jesus partnered with God. He only said what God, what the Father said. He only did what the Father said. And he was obedient unto death. He didn't want to die. He made it clear. He says, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Father, I pray that this cup be taken from me. But not my will, your will. The Father's will was that he went to the cross and died for you and me. But there's a partnership there. And because he was obedient unto the death, the Father gave him a name, the name of Jesus, that's exalted and has authority in three worlds, power in three worlds. That's the partnership between the Father and the Son. The partnership between the Son and you is now you have his name to use. But it doesn't help you unless you use it. What's the use of having $1 billion in your checking account if you never write a check against it? You have the name of Jesus. You have the name of Jesus. So you have the name of Jesus, so use it. So you have the name of Jesus, and you know that God will make a way. That God will make a way. Now, in making the way, in going through the challenges, in waiting, keep this in mind. That the way will always produce for you what you prayed for, what you asked for, or something better. The way through the challenge will always result in you getting what you asked for or something better. You put God in charge of your day. So you have faith that everything today will work out for the good. Now, sometimes you may not see it the same day. Sometimes it may take a while before it all comes together. But when it comes together, you know there was a way out of the challenges of that day that came to a point where you either got what you wanted or something way better. Way better. Your goal is to have a life that's so full of these things that your life in general is better than you have ever imagined it. If your life is not better than you have ever imagined it, then you're not spending enough time in this lifestyle of using the name of Jesus and of abiding in him. Jesus Christ said, John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Talk about partnership. Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I did not write it. Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil does. Partnership is what Jesus says next. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it better than you have ever imagined it. Jesus came that you might have life better than you've ever imagined it. That's from the Message translation. King James says that you might have abundant life. Abundant life. So whose decision is it whether you have a life better than you have ever imagined it or not? The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, so he's not trying to get you to have a life better than you have ever imagined. Jesus says, I came that you would have a life better than you have ever imagined it. So it's your decision. You've got to continue in the Word, become a disciple, and know the truth, and have the truth set you free so your life is better than you have ever imagined it. If your life is not better than you have ever imagined it, it's because you've not continued in the Word long enough. It's because you're not using the name of Jesus enough. It's because you're not trusting God enough. It's because you're not spending enough time in the Word. It's because you're not speaking the Word. So, regardless of what the temptations are, God has already made a way out for you. The way is always to a point where you get what you expected or something better. Let's close with my wife's favorite scripture. Ephesians 3:20 from the Amplified Bible. Now to him who by, in consequence of, okay? The by means in consequence of. Now to him who, in consequence of the action of his power. Now to him who, because of his power, that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose. You see the partnership? Jesus is doing it according to the power that works in us. So we have to do something. Now to him who by, in consequence of, the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose, and to do super abundantly, I love that word. It just rolls off my tongue, super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare, I love that word dare, that we dare ask all things, that we dare ask all things. Let me tell you, I dare ask all things big, big. When I first got saved, I dared to ask and think big. That time I didn't know much. Big was very small. But that which I dared to ask, in 9 months, I had written down, documented, well, at least by count, 1,000 miracles. 1,000 miracles. When I got to 1,000 miracles, I quit counting. 1,000 miracles in 9 months. I remember my niece was a powerful woman for God. She'd introduce me to her friends in those days that this is my uncle. He walks in signs and wonders. I've never forgotten that. You all know her. Her name is Pastor Karen. She said, this is my uncle. He walks in signs and wonders. Let me tell you, I was trying to think as big as I could in those days. What I was thinking was really small. Today, I really think big. And God wants us to think big. Now to him who by, in consequence of, the action of his power, that is at work within us, is able to carry out his power, his purpose, and do super abundantly, far over and above, all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. How can you possibly read that without getting excited? How can you possibly read that to realize we are nowhere coming close to what God wants for us? How can you read that and not understand that there's a partnership? How can you read that and not understand the God who created everything lives inside you? Not so you could be a bump in a log, but that you could dare to pray big and get big results. That's the God we serve. That's what God wants for every one of us. Partner with him. And have faith in your prayers. Have faith in your prayers because your prayers are based on the Word of God. Have faith in your prayers because you're living a lifestyle of prayer following these six guidelines. Have faith in your prayers because you're praying the Word of God and the Word of God never fails. Have faith in your prayers because God is your partner and you and God can do anything. You and God never fail. For God is love. And you are partnering with God because there's love in your heart and love never fails. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, okay. That sounds like a blueprint for success. And that's what we want. We want to be like the neighbor man that of Pastor Joshua's brother, the one who learned about how to pray properly, learned much more than he knew, and he started applying it. He was a hearer of the word and a doer, and he got excited because guess what? The word of God works when you work the word of God. When you do things God's way, he's there standing right beside you, backing you up. He says, okay, if you do this, then I'll do that. That's what his word says. So what happens? If you do this, then he does that. It's just automatic because the partnership involves a part on our part and a part on his part. And when God says he'll do something and we do our part, we can trust it. We can count on it. So that's exciting way to live. Exciting way to be assured that God hears our prayers and that he loves us and he wants to answer them. He wants us to live his very best life. Jesus brought his glories down from heaven for us to live here on earth. And we access the how-to from His Word. It's all there in the Word of God. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's great. And now let's get out our communion elements, because we want to be able to be obedient to the Lord when He invites us to come to the table and partake of the body and the blood. You notice He puts no limitations on it whatsoever, no restrictions. He just says, whenever you come. So He's leaving it up to us to make that decision. How often do we want to partake of the body and the blood of Jesus? Well, let me tell you, just as learning the proper prayers avails much, well, partaking of communion has awesome value for each one of us. For Jesus had a one-time sacrifice. One time. He's not going to do it again. He doesn't have to. He already took care of everything that one time 2,000 years ago. However, because we get to partake of the broken body of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus, that means the benefits of His one-time sacrifice continue on and come to us on a regular basis. Every time we partake, we can expect the benefits to chase us down and overtake us, like the blessings in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. It says, if you seek God and you chase Him, then the blessings will chase you down. And so that's what we have to look forward to with God. We don't look for the blessings. We just look for God. He's the biggest blessing of all. And when we focus on Him, then He takes care of blessing us with all the glories that He has for us. So let's take a moment to confess our sins, and then we will come to the table together. Holy Spirit, we invite You to fall afresh upon each one of us as we now come to the table to partake of the body and the blood of Jesus. We thank You for Your word, Lord, that tells us that on that night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread, He blessed it, He broke it, He said, take, eat. This is My body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Listen to all the commands. He invites us to come, but then He says, do it. Just do it. Take it. Eat it. Remember. And what are we remembering with the broken body? That healing belongs to us. From Genesis all the way through to Revelation and through Revelation, healing is the children's bread. Healing is God's way. He wants us to be healthy, healed, whole, restored and rejuvenated, walking in the fullness of health divinely. That is our goal. That is what He wants for us. And so this is one way, a faith action plan, by which we can partake of that broken body to open up to us the fullness of healing in full manifestation. We thank You, Lord Jesus. We do remember that healing belongs to us because You took those 39 stripes upon Your body, paying the price for every sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain, fitting into every one of the 39 categories of modern medicine. For You knew the end from the beginning, and You paid that perfect price. A complete price for everything, every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, every pain, nothing missing, nothing lacking. You paid it all. And then You said, it all belongs to us, the benefits. You took all the bad stuff, all the negative stuff, all the painful stuff. You paid that price for us we couldn't pay. And then You give us this wonderful, glorious gift. Starting with healing, the package of salvation, beginning with healing for our physical bodies. We thank You, Lord Jesus, as we now partake together of your broken body to receive our healing and wholeness for any and all areas of our bodies that may be currently challenged from the enemy. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And in the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." No more annual sacrifices, but a once-for-all sacrifice. The slate is wiped clean of all of our sins, past, present, future, known and unknown sins. Jesus paid for them all, and we are so blessed that he paid the price to put us into right standing with God, that we can call ourselves righteous because of the blood of Jesus on us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your blood is so powerful. It also sealed the old covenant and established the new, better, and everlasting covenant. And you did that all just for all of us. We thank you, Lord. Everything we need for life and godliness, everything we need to fulfill the old covenant scripture that says that we shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord, and everything to fulfill the new covenant scripture that we would be alive and remain faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ when he returns for us, which is coming up very soon. How glorious, how awesome, how wonderful God is. He loves us so much, and we thank him for all he's done for us. But our best way of thanking him is to learn what belongs to us, to receive it, and then to walk in it. In other words, being hearers and doers of the word. That will bless him the most, that he knows that he did none of that in vain, because we see and we understand and we know and we're hungry for all of what God has for us. We want to fulfill the calling upon each one of our lives by entering into the fullness of our relationship with God Almighty through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. And so we thank him now as we partake together of the precious cup of blessing and cup of life, the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, let's partake together.